of this in our culture today. It's pretty much noise all the time. Not only that we live in a noisy society, but we entertain ourselves with constant audio bombardment. In radio, they say no dead air. That's a rule that's often best broken. But we have to keep it constantly chattering. We like to have something going on in the background, music or talking or the radio, even if we're not listening. But the old saying is, silence is golden. Is it more than that? And is there a place for silence in proper, reverent Christian worship? There is a hymn. It's a Lord's Supper hymn. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. And we're going to be studying that hymn during this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. This is Issues, Etc. Joining us to study this great hymn on this Friday afternoon, August the 10th, Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd, and you got it right. This is one great hymn. This is one of the greatest hymns I think ever written.
Now, for church, for Sunday morning, the experience of many Christians going into the average evangelical church, kind of pop American Christianity, there is no silence. It is from the time you walk in to the time you leave, you are inundated with music and talking and all sorts of stimuli through your ears. It's the one thing that you won't hear is silence. What are they missing?
They're missing really an opportunity to reflect on the significance of what is actually happening in the place in which they have gathered in the presence of God. Your opening comments were right on target. I mean, we are a culture, we are a world that just does not value silence. It is something that is missing. And I have to say, I'm as guilty as anyone on that. I will say, though, when I was dean of the chapel here at the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I tried to give opportunities for the congregation to be silent in worship. And boy, it was like pulling teeth, because you could just sense the tension, the uncomfortableness for even 10 seconds. You know, most people thought, you know, we'd lost our place or we didn't know what we were doing, even when we told them we were going to do this. And I find that for the first 30 seconds, people are just, you can feel the tension in the room. But there is something that happens at a certain point where people kind of relax and the world's not going to come to an end. And people kept coming back to me and saying, we need more of that. We need more of that. And this hymn is really telling us why we need to. I mean, we need to behold the presence and the significance of that presence. This hymn is based on a bunch of verses, but the one that really sticks out is the one in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, if you read the context there, it's about idols and how idols are meaningless, are nothing, are impotent. But the Lord in his temple, that demands our complete attention, and it demands that we really can't say anything in the presence of that. We need to behold it, and everything needs to sort of stop. And, I mean, behold it in a number of different ways. Behold its splendor. Behold its magnificence. We overuse the word awe, but its awesomeness. The fact that it is a presence that can both heal and destroy. That it is a presence that is the creator of the universe. And that, you know, is the one who has come to redeem. Let all the earth, as it says in the Old Testament, keep silent and behold what it is that God is all about, that there's nothing greater than God, and that here he is before us, and that the only response that human beings can really have is to sit there in quiet and contemplate and contemplate the majesty of God.
Why is it addressed to mortal flesh, Dr. Just?
Well, I think it is because it reflects the fact that we are beholding this in a state of brokenness. That we are people that, you know, no longer are the way God created us to be. That we are no longer perfect and whole. That we do sin. That we do create idols for ourselves, and that we can't help ourselves, really. We can't save ourselves. It's impossible. I mean, that is the overwhelming theme of both the Old and New Testaments, that human beings cannot in any way contribute to their salvation because they are broken, sinful, mortal, dying people. And, you know, the hymn writer, and it's we should talk a little bit about the origins of this hymn at some point, has taken the word earth and now applied it to humanity, because the context of the hymn is the context of worship, of beholding the presence of God in, as you said, the Lord's Supper, in the body and blood of Jesus on the altar, and the silence that we actually must at some point render that presence during our Eucharistic worship. And as you indicated so well, we don't. I mean, we just don't. We're always moving, we're always singing, we're always listening, there's never silence. And sometimes, you know, the best parts of the liturgy can be when you know, during the distribution, there is nothing. The only sound you hear is the shuffling of people moving forward, and the silent, you know, the silence sort of that is only broken by the words that are spoken at the altar. That mortal flesh there is the humanity that is sitting there in the pew, that is broken, that needs to be made whole, that needs to eat and drink the body and blood of Christ. And they're the ones who are beholding this presence.
Tell us a little bit about the author of this hymn.
Well, it's from a liturgy. And it's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, liturgies that we have, the Liturgy of St. James. And that's St. James, the brother of Jesus, who was the Bishop of Jerusalem in the first century. Whether or not any or all of this is from him, we really don't know. But it is attributed to him, and it's a Jerusalem liturgy. So this hymn was the cherubic hymn that was... again, like all great liturgy, it's anonymous. We have no idea who wrote this hymn. But this hymn was written, you know, as part of the liturgy of St. James, and it is the cherubic hymn for the offertory, which is as we kind of prepare to enter and behold the presence of Christ in the Eucharistic elements. Now, I want your hearers to hear the liturgical hymn, and then how this was spun later on into a fuller hymn, and you can hear that it's very much a hymn that reflects sort of the nature of the Sanctus too, the Isaiah 6 hymn and the Psalm 137 hymn that we sing so much. Here are the words: "Let all mortal flesh be silent, and stand with fear and trembling, and meditate nothing earthly within itself. For the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ our God, comes forward to be sacrificed and to be given for food to the faithful. And the bands of angels go before him with every power and dominion. The many-eyed cherubim and the six-winged seraphim, covering their faces and crying aloud the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia." Now, what this hymn is saying is that on the altar there is Christ sacrificed, the Christ of Calvary and the resurrected Christ of the empty tomb is there, the sacrifice that we are about to partake of. And, you know, in a sense that idea of actually receiving this as food for the faithful is so deeply embedded in the ancient, you know, liturgies of the church, because it's the biblical, you know, doctrine of the Lord's Supper, that it is body and blood, food for the faithful, of the Christ sacrificed at Calvary that we eat and drink when we receive his body and blood.
When we come back from this break, we're going to start listening to this great Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. We'll hear the first stanza, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to demand. We'll look at that hymn stanza by stanza with Dr. Arthur Gest, and then near the end we'll get his final thoughts as we study it this way, and we'll hear the entire hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. Dr. Arthur Gest is our guest on this Friday afternoon, August the 10th. We're studying the hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. We'll get into that first stanza. We are addressed as mortal flesh, and here comes Jesus, but he comes with blessing for us sinners. We'll talk about that blessing, and we'll hear that first stanza right after this.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Creve Coeur, 314-997-3035. 997-3035.
And with fear and trembling sound, ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to
St. Olaf Kantorai with the first line of the Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. We're studying this hymn on this Friday afternoon. Dr. Arthur Gest is our guest. What is the blessing that Jesus is bringing according to this great hymn, Dr. Gest?
Well, it's one of those words that has a full meaning. And what I mean by that is it I think, refers to a number of things. I mean, I think as we talk about this hymn, we have to recognize that it's not just about the Lord's Supper. It's about the incarnation. It's about the coming of Christ in the flesh and all that that means. And what it does is it puts the Lord's Supper in the context of the larger kind of cosmic recreation of Christ that comes from his descending to this earth to, in a sense, restore it to what he intended it to be. And the blessing is one thing you could say, it's just himself, his descent. You know, that's what, you know, the blessing is. I mean, it does say, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our Lord descended. So it's something in his hand. But I think the blessing, as you look at it in the context of this hymn, is most specifically what he gives to us at the supper in his body and blood. The next verse is really describing that, you know, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. That's what the blessing is, what's in his hand, so to speak. And this is one way of thinking of what actually happens when the pastor gives the body and blood to the faithful. It's really Christ there who is giving himself to the faithful. I mean, I've always said when I teach the Lord's Supper and the pastoral, you know, kind of dimensions of it, the most pastoral thing I do is to hold the host in front of the eyes of the faithful and say, the body of Christ, and then put it in their mouth, given for you, or the cup, hold it, the blood of Christ, and then give it to them, you know, shed for you. In a sense, you know, because I'm in the place and by the command of Christ, Christ is the one who is actually giving himself to them at that moment. And I think that's what this opening, you know, stanza does, is it says, you know, why do all mortal flesh keep silence? Because we are being given the body and blood of the crucified and risen Lord, the creator of the cosmos. You know, this is, you know, why it's nothing earthly minded. We are in the presence of the heavenly things, but the heavenly things that have taken flesh, and taken flesh to restore that flesh. You know, and that's why he descended. You know, that's why our homage is demanded of him, because he is the one who has come in the flesh to give his flesh for the life of the world.
See, that's the one thing that I think people might be tempted to misunderstand here in this first stanza. Ponder nothing earthly minded. And we immediately kind of all become Platonists at that point.
Yeah, right.
Where
exactly.
we ponder ideas that are transcendent or forms that are beyond material manifestation. We're thinking of kind of Jesus wrapped in the mists of heaven rather than the things that are, when Paul says, do not set your mind on things below, but things above. The things that are above are before us on that table, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, and what the Lord wants us to do is to ponder how all earthly things have been made new, have been recreated in the earthly flesh of Jesus, who is, you know, heaven on earth, you know, to quote a phrase. I mean, that's exactly what we need to see, is that all of earth needs to keep silence because it has now been restored to what God intended it to be. And there it is before us, and he's giving it to us as food, you know, food for the faithful, as the original hymn, you know, says. And it was always described in the ancient church as the whole cosmos is, in a sense, being offered up now to the Father in Christ, redeemed and made whole, and that we participate in that at the supper by the eating and drinking, by the reception of this incredible act of Christ that he has, in a sense, made common and made accessible to us by offering it to us at a table as food, as nourishment, as something that is, in a sense, our food for the journey as we make our way to the kind of the ultimate communion with Christ, which will be, you know, in the heavenly places.
One more question, quick question on that stanza. What is homage?
Homage is where we We in devotion and love, we worship Him. We glorify Him. We offer to Him everything that we are. We acknowledge Him as the Creator and Redeemer of the cosmos. In a sense, we acknowledge our mortality. It is an act. I mean, it's an act of worship. It's an act of complete, total devotion.
Here is the second stanza of "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Dr. Just, is that stanza saying that the way we access the incarnation of Jesus Christ is through the Lord's Supper itself?
It is. And I mean, it is an acknowledgement that the way in which God has, in a sense, shown the kind of God He is that He is a God who wants to have communion with the people that He created. And that's why he joins Himself to us, you know, when we're infants in the waters of holy baptism. That's why He speaks to us in our language, in our ears, and we speak back to Him what we hear. And that's why He feeds us with a meal that is, you know, one of the great mysteries is beyond human, really, comprehension and explanation. But we receive it as He speaks it, and we receive it as the mystery that it is, that we actually are communing, eating, drinking, you know, joining ourselves and our bodies to His body, and that's how we communicate with Him. That's how we have a life with Him, that it is as intimate as it can be in terms of taking into our own flesh His flesh, and this is, I mean, this hymn kind of breaks down the mystery and makes it more mysterious that it's the King of Kings, yet it's born of Mary, and everybody knows what that means. This is the humble virgin of Galilee who is you know, a nothing and is made something only because God has chosen her. Lord of lords, but in human vesture. I mean, this is the Lord of everything, and yet He comes in the flesh that we know is mortal, that is broken, that will die, that gets sick. He gives His own self for heavenly food. I mean, that heavenly food is in itself a mystery. You know, food is earthly, food is common, food is what we work to produce. You know, toil and, you know, bread is the food of, you know, after the fall, because you have to work to get bread. But it's he makes it heavenly, because in that bread is also at the same time the body of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
When someone who, and I don't know if they do or not, but Christians who deny the very body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament, we've only got a minute here before our break, how do they sing a hymn like this?
Well, I think they do it by recognizing, and I think that many of them do, that you know, this is a holy kind of institution by Christ in the you know, night in which He was betrayed. I mean, they consider this sort of more of a memorial meal, and I think they recognize that it's a holy meal, and I think that they believe that they are communing, you know, in a sense. But it's a symbolic thing. They're missing the flesh. They're missing the blood. They're missing the really kind of reality of what this is all about. And in that way, they are missing a great deal.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, on this Friday afternoon, August the 10th. More with him after this.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're studying the hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, with Dr. Arthur Just. He's author of the book, Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, what can you tell us about that book, Heaven on Earth? It goes well with the hymn we're talking about right now.
Yeah, and especially the next verse. You know, I wrote that book because it really sort of summarizes all that I've been teaching these years about liturgy. And you know, back in the 1980s, I'm a New Testament guy. I did study some liturgy, and we found ourselves, you know, with lots of reasons in the midst of what came to be known as the worship wars. And I was always uncomfortable that we would have wars about worship. I mean, that just seems like the last thing that you would think of when you talk about wars. But I mean, it did seem like a war out there. And I think one of the reasons why people sort of warred about it is that they didn't quite, you know, grasp what this hymn, you know, is trying to tell us about worship. that there is a holy presence there that we need to, you know, stand in silence before and pay homage to and recognize that this isn't just a kind of an isolated moment, you know, an earthly moment. This is a heavenly moment. That if Christ is present bodily, which is what we confess, you know, our Christology is really so tied into what we believe about worship. If he is present for us bodily, then you know, that means that all of heaven is there too. Our liturgy says it, angels, archangels, and the whole company of heaven. That all of that is there. I always used to say, and this is in a sense what this book is about, is, you know, what if the veil was lifted and we actually saw what was there? We saw the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, everybody who has died and risen in Christ and ever will. They are in Christ, present in our worship, singing with us, you know, the cherubim, the seraphim, the whole, you know, the whole nine yards. All the saints are there, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Paul, Matthew, Luke, you know, everybody. You know, all our relatives who have died and risen in Christ, my grandmother, you know, going on and on. It's just, they're all there. I mean, and if we had that sense, you know, we could perhaps approach this a little differently. The book shows, in a sense, how, in light of that understanding, that incredible heaven on earth reality, the church has developed a form, you know, by which it can sort of negotiate that presence. And you need a form to do that. You can't just go in there willy-nilly. And what is it that went into the formation of that? And the book tries to kind of give a sense of all the dimensions of what it means to stand in this awesome presence and behold it. And how has the church done that through the centuries? So it was one of the most satisfying experiences I had to kind of put down on paper all those things that I've been thinking about and reading about and teaching about all those years.
Folks, it is kind of like taking a liturgy class from Dr. Arthur Jess, the book called Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a link. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They know the book because they published it. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Heaven on Earth. 1-800-325-3040. Here is stanza 3 of Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. Rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light descending from the realms of endless day, comes the powers of hell to vanquish as the darkness clears away. Dr. Just, you mentioned the origins of this hymn in the Liturgy of St. James, and already so very, very early in the Christian church's worship life, they were recognizing the profound truth you just spoke of with respect to your book, that even in their most humble of circumstances, and it must have been such for them, that when they celebrated the Lord's Supper, heaven was coming to earth.
It is one of the things that I think is most astounding about the early Christian communities and how they worship. I think it is amazing how, if you think about it, I mean, here's one of the things that I've always taught in the first 300 years of Christianity. People are worshiping in homes, in small, you know, very humble, you know, circumstances. And they're doing it in the context of a Roman Empire where the pagan worship was in temples that were just unbelievably grand. I mean, I always call it the Disney World of that time. I mean, people would go there and be kind of amazed at what they would do in these pagan temples at their worship services. And here, you know, Christians, there's 40, 50 of them in a small room, a table, you know, huddled around a couple of scrolls of God's Word, you know, bread and wine. And they're saying, this is the New Jerusalem. This is the heavenly place. Here is heaven on earth. Here we are, you know, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. You had to, you know, you had to have faith to believe that, especially in the context of the pagan worship and the context of persecution. But this was built in. I mean, this is the earliest words of the liturgy, the Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. What does that mean? Lift up your hearts. It means that heaven and earth are coming together. We lift our hearts to heaven. You know, let us give thanks, you know, that heaven and earth are coming together here. They got that immediately. They understood immediately that because Christ was present, heaven was here as well. And, you know, this was for them, you know, the only thing that really mattered. But it was something that you had to, you know, be prepared for. I mean, this is why they were selective and who could come and who could not come, because this was such an awesome thing. Like in the Old Testament, going into the temple, only people who were, you know, Levites or high priests and had gone through the ablutions, the baths, and cleansed and, you know, said the prayers could enter into these certain places. Only the believers, the baptized, those who recognize this present, could enter it. And you can see the liturgy is immediately built in with this sense of awe at the presence of heaven itself. You know, I use the word eschatological, the eschaton, the things of the end are being brought forward and made available here in this dusty little house in Palestine or Syria, you know, that is as humble as can be. But here is the New Jerusalem. This is the temple of Jerusalem now here, because the presence of God is here in this place.
With very briefly here, it says, comes the powers of hell to vanquish. Are the powers of hell being vanquished every Lord's Day in the Lord's Supper?
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus said this to the 70 too when he sent them out to preach. He said, after they came back, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying that when I sent you out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Preaching the kingdom and healing is what the liturgy is about. Preaching word, healing is the medicine of immortality, the Lord's Supper. That happens at every liturgy, and at every liturgy, Satan falls like lightning from heaven. I mean, the anonymous author of this hymn got it right. That wherever Christ is and his word is and his holy presence is, the powers of hell cannot stand. And that's one of the reasons why we light candles. That's why the liturgy is a place of light, because this is the light of the world. That's why Christians, you know, celebrated Christmas when they did. You know, they were the pagans were celebrating the birth of the light in the winter solstice. Christians said, hey, we got the light of the world. We have Christ, so let's us have the great feast of the incarnation, the coming of that light into the world. I mean, just read John's gospel. It's all about the fact that the light has come in Jesus. That light is present among us now in this earth, and it continues to be present when we gather together around his presence in the liturgy, and that defeats the powers of darkness.
Stanza 4, at his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High. Fourth stanza of the Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. We'll get Dr. Just's thoughts on that fourth stanza, and we'll play the entire hymn on the other side of this break. Folks, these hymn studies are kind of our stock and trade here at Issues, Etc. We study them in depth over the course of an hour with great guests like Dr. Arthur Just. But these hymns themselves are also the stock and trade of Lutheran Public Radio. Right now at Lutheran Public Radio, you can hear the great hymns of the church, ancient ones like these, ones that are even found in the 21st century and all the centuries in between, right there at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world, and it follows the church here, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Any time of day or night, and especially this weekend, being as it's a Friday right now, tomorrow, when you wake up, go to LutheranPublicRadio.org and leave it on and listen to sacred music all through the weekend. LutheranPublicRadio.org. The fourth stanza of Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence with Dr. Arthur Just right after this.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Dr. Arthur Just on this Friday afternoon, August the 10th. We're studying the Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, going into the fourth stanza here. Dr. Just, we heard it before the break, and you said at the very beginning of our conversation that in this ancient liturgy that is the basis for this hymn, there are echoes of what you call the Sanctus, that hymn that is sung immediately with the Lord's Supper based on Isaiah chapter 6, holy, holy, holy. What of the angel songs are we hearing here in this last stanza?
Well, that is such a great question, because I think it's one that you know, we would be wanting to ask, because what are they singing in heaven, you know? The Sanctus certainly is one of them. I mean, that is, you know, if you read anything about the Sanctus, most scholars believe that that's something that most likely was used in the synagogue liturgies. They might have heard it in the temple. Jesus most likely sang the Sanctus. Certainly, the hymns that we know they're singing are the hymns of Revelation. The hymns of Revelation, you know, 4 and 5, and then at the end, you know, chapters 19 and following, you know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. You know, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just, etc. I mean, these are the hymns that are sung at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end. But, you know, it's interesting. I think that because there is this union of heaven and earth, that they certainly are aware of the hymns that we're singing, and their voices and our voices are joined. That's why I always used to say in jest to the guys when I taught Lutheran worship, you know, be sure that when you pick a hymn, it's a hymn that, you know, Abraham might be comfortable singing. You know, I mean, there's a larger chorus here, and the songs of the angels are summed up in this one, you know, phrase that they are sung to the Lamb who was slain and raised again. I mean, they are the songs of the Lamb. They are the songs that rehearse the magnificent redemptive plan of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they're done at the context of a wedding feast. So they're wedding hymns. They're hymns that are sung by the angelic heavenly choruses that would be appropriate at a wedding feast of the Lamb who stands there, slain and resurrected. It is amazing. I looked up the Liturgy of St. James that sort of kind of introduces us. You know, we have it sort of truncated. But they've got, I just want to read it because it shows you the full kind of panoply of images and you know, the fullness of what they thought was happening. It starts this way, whom the heavens of heavens praise. This is in the what we would call the proper preface, after the preface. You know, whom the heavens of heavens praise and all the host of them, the sun and the moon and all the choir of the stars, earth, sea, and all that is in them, Jerusalem, the heavenly assembly, the church of the firstborn that are written in heaven, spirits of just men and of prophets, souls of martyrs and of apostles, angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, principalities and authorities and dread powers, and the many-eyed cherubim and the six-winged seraphim, which covered their faces with two wings, their feet with two they fly, crying one to another with unresting lips, with unceasing praises, with loud voice singing the victorious hymn of thy majestic glory, crying aloud, praising, shouting, and saying, Holy, 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 O Lord of Sabaoth, the heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, I mean, I think that gives you a sense of that. I mean, they have an even fuller understanding than our liturgy does. And ours, I think, is rich in the language that we have.
Here is the entire Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent, sung by the St. Olaf Kantorei.
Fear and trembling sound, ponder nothing.
Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence.
I want to just talk a little bit about how this hymn has become a very special hymn for our family, and it's because it is a hymn that we associate with Christmas. After the celebration of Christmas in our congregation, a few days later, one of the local churches has a Boar's Head Festival, and we've been going for 20 years, and it is as much a part of our Christmas celebrations as anything. And if you know anything about Boar's Head Festivals, the first part is that kind of wonderful eavesdropping on a medieval feast of Christmas with all its fun and its reverence. And then it turns into a Christmas pageant that tells the story of the birth of the Christ child. At the very end of the one that we go to, the Virgin Mary and Joseph are in the front, you know, and she's holding what clearly is a baby, but we know it's not a real baby. I mean, well, over the years, we've recognized that she starts it with a kind of a doll. And the choir sings this hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, as everybody who has been in this Boar's Head pageant, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds of people, come forward during this hymn. And in the midst of them, there is somebody who's holding a real baby. And at the very end of the hymn, where the orchestra and the choir have reached a crescendo, everybody in the pageant bows down to this child. And all you see are Mary and Joseph and this real child in her arms. And this entire cast of people from the medieval celebration, the wise men, the shepherds, the kings, they're all bowed down. And, thinking about it brings chills. Tears often just pop out of my eyes when we see this. And we look at each other and just smile in the sense of, this is what it's all about. I mean, this hymn is the hymn of the ages, because it's about the incarnation of Christ as a child. And that child is the one who vanquishes the powers of evil. That's the one who dispels the darkness. And that's the child that grows up and absorbs into his flesh my sins and the sins of the world. That's the child that dies that horrific death for me. And that's the child who, coming out of the tomb, shows me in his resurrected body not only what I will be one day, but what I am already now in holy baptism, because I've been joined to his body. And that's the child who offers himself as my heavenly food. It's really one of the great moments for us, and this hymn is one of the great hymns in Christianity.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you so much.
And my pleasure. We got to keep doing these hymn studies because they're the best ever.
Folks, the summer months are always the most difficult for us financially here at Issues Etc. If you appreciate our hymn studies, please consider making a tax-deductible gift this month to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small, and for a first-time gift, we'll send you the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. or make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the difficult summer months. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the 7 ecumenical councils with Pastor Heath Curtis. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you Monday.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.